Mark chapter number 2. We'll start in verse number 13 this morning. Appreciate everyone being here this morning. Thank you for being faithful to the house of God. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 13. The Bible says, "And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi the son of Alphaeus sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eat with the publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners?" Here's how good our God is. He answered the question. He said, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, That they that are whole have no need of the what? The physician." I think he was speaking of himself there, church, don't you? He is the great physician, amen? "They that are whole have no need of the physician." You know, he spoke pretty highly of himself right there. And I like that. He deserved it. "But they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but what, church? Sinners to repentance." You know, I think we're in a day and age where we've got this thing mixed up. I'm going to pray and we're going to get started. Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for your word and for your truth. Lord, may this morning we realize, God, that, Lord, the people that are well, they're not in need of a physician. The ones that are saved, God, they're not in need of a physician. They're in need of being obedient. But God, it's so true, God, that out here in our world, there are many lost and dying souls that are split in hell wide open every single day without a Savior. And God, if we could just catch a hold of the glimpse that Jesus gave to us here, and sometimes, Lord, just sit down, Lord, with some sinners, not to participate in what they're doing, but to be a witness unto them, and to spread the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ into their homes, into their lives. And Lord, may we learn to make a difference in this world. Now, Lord, one more time, I'll ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, bind the devil once again off this place. Lord, as we open up your word, we know the devil doesn't like that. This is contrary to everything he believes. But Lord, I thank you for the power that you've given us in the Holy Ghost, and the power in your blood. Lord, I ask you now to bless us in all things. Cleanse me of sin, empty me of self. Lord, fill me with your spirit this morning. And Lord, may your people hear from heaven this morning. And all God's people said, amen. You know, I like that verse 17. We're not going to preach out of that this morning. We're going to preach out of verse 13. But as I was reading this, I couldn't help but notice what the point that Jesus was trying to get across. We'll read it again. He said, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are what, church? I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, everywhere you go in the New Testament, you'll find Jesus, and most of the time, he's followed by a multitude of people. And no doubt most of them, maybe all of them, are lost. You know, he saved many people. He healed many people. He's still in the saving business today. But I'm afraid we are caught up in what I'll call a self-righteous mentality as a church. No amens there. But here's the reality. Amen. We are a group of people, an individual, a peculiar people, the Bible calls us. But often we find ourselves too good for others. And I don't think that's what God intended on us to be. As a matter of fact, our own Savior was found here sitting at the table with many publicans and sinners. And he wasn't there participating, doing the things that they were doing. He was there being an example to his God, the Father, our same Father God. He was there being an example and witnessing to them and preaching to these people and showing them the love of Christ. Listen, coming to church is a very good thing, and all God's people said. It's good to fellowship with other believers. It's uplifting. It's encouraging. It's edifying. It strengthens you spiritually. I believe that God is all about that. And I'll say it again. He is all about us coming to church. But listen, when you get a hold of the mentality that you are too good to go visit the drunk on the street. Folks, listen. You've never been humbled like God can humble you. Don't think that just because your bank account is full that God cannot humble you quickly. Don't think that just because your marriage is good and your kids are doing well that tomorrow it might not be. Don't think that without the grace of God, you might be the drunk on the street. That people just look and they go around and leave you laying there to die. But for the grace of God, that's who we all were. We were all just poor, wretched, rotten, vile, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinners. But Jesus Christ chose to come by your way. And I'm so thankful that when he saw me in a wretched spot, that he did not just do like many of us would do and go around and say, I don't really care so much about that guy. He's a lost sinner. He's rotten. He's vile. He don't deserve anything. Hey, neither do you. And neither did you. And neither did I. Folks, we've got to change our mentality in this life and understand that out there, some in our own families are lost and dying people. I mean, just this week, we've heard testimonies of people passing away. You know, he said it this morning, he didn't even know about it till the funeral. Folks, you know people are dying every 11 seconds, someone's dying. That's a few since just I've started preaching in the last 5 minutes. You can do the math. But every 11 seconds, someone dies, on average. Just since I said that, three people have taken their last breath somewhere. We don't know who, we don't know where. But listen, all around us are people that need New Hope Independent Baptist Church to become unified around the Word of God and look at every single soul through the eyes of Jesus Christ. Amen? We've got to start having a burden for souls. I'll tell you, I haven't announced this to the church yet, but I'll just announce it now. I've been praying for a church van because I wanted to have a van to go out, and there's plenty of doors out there that have little kids behind them. Mamas and dads won't come to church, but you know what they'll do? They'll say, here, you can have my kid for a couple hours, and they can call it babysitting all they want. You know what I'm going to call it? Witnessing. Because when they come here to get babysat, they're going to get the Bible preached to them. And guess what the Lord did? He gave us a church van for free. Haven't announced that yet. We got to go pick it up. But he gave us one at no cost. And you know this thing we've been teaching by faith? I thought to myself, if God, I prayed that the Lord would, I'll be honest, I was going to present it to the church and present the need to buy one. But if God saw so fit to give us one for free, I wonder what he has in store for that van. You guys catching this thing? There's plenty of young men and women that would love to see a smiling face knock on their door and pick them up Sunday morning and bring them to a safe place and feed them some snacks and sugar them up and give them the gospel and send them back home. And those same boys and girls will be waiting anxiously for the next week that you come by. I've been there. I've done that. Hey, you want a ministry to be a part of that is ever rewarding? The bus ministry. It's fun. It's profitable. It's heartbreaking at times. But hey, you say, he just gave it to us? Yeah. Because that's who he is. Abundantly, above, and beyond what we could ask or think. Say, how did God do that? I don't know. I'm not God. But he did. And I'm thankful. And folks, I wonder how many of you will say, preacher, that sounds like something I could do. I could knock on a door. I could invest into a young man and lady's life. I could come to church Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, get on that van and drive it around for 45 minutes and bring them to Sunday school and take them home after church. I could do that. I wonder how many would be willing to do it. I'm not going to ask you. You see what I'm saying? See, what we need to think about is this. Somebody invested into our life. Amen? Somebody took time to make sure that we heard the gospel. And many of you, and if you're like me, you had parents that made you go to church. But what about the ones who don't have parents that make them go to church? Do you know that Jesus Christ was sitting at their table? Those are the ones that he looks like. He's like, look, we have no need of the physician. I mean, not on a spiritual. We don't need him for salvation. We already have it. But what about the ones out there that can't get here? That would love to be here. Let's get into the message this morning. Verse number 13. The Bible says, and he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. The multitude that resorted to Jesus. Within a multitude, there are many different types of people. A great indefinite number of people. People from all around were resorting to Jesus. You ever been in a big crowd before? And I'm not talking about a crowd this is a big crowd, but I mean like thousands of people. Anybody ever been in like a professional setting, like a ball setting or a big sport ball game? Like you go to Tuscaloosa on a Saturday night when they're playing LSU. You're going to be in a multitude of people. And there's people from everywhere, all different shapes, sizes, nationalities. They're everywhere. And not a single one of them are alike, right? Not any of them are wired exactly the same. Here in verse 13, we see a multitude of people resorting to Jesus. That word resort, one definition in Webster says this, one turn to aid for or relief. You know what these people were looking for? The same thing this world is looking for, people. They're looking for some aid and some relief. But see, here's where we've got it minded. We've got the devil and his forces are over here saying, okay, we'll give you aid and relief in the terms of like free this, free that, free the. Y'all know what I'm talking about here? Look, everybody's looking for something free, right? Everybody. We all like it because it don't cost us anything. But here's something that the devil and his forces cannot offer you: salvation. These people had watched Jesus, no doubt, perform miracles. After miracle, after miracle. This is right after the man was let down through the roof and the palsy man was made whole. And you know, they were murmuring and complaining. And he said, all right, I've already forgiven his sins, but if it makes you feel better, I'm going to make him walk. Here's a multitude following Jesus. They're looking for some aid and for some relief. And listen, around us, there are people looking for spiritual relief. They think it's a physical thing, but listen, as soon as you introduce them to Jesus, think for a second and remember the day that you got saved and how much better you slept at night knowing that your eternal destination was now heaven and not a devil's hell that was not created for you. Think about how it feels to know that you know that you know that you're saved. How can you know what? That's another subject for another time, but if you really want to know, come talk to me after church. I'll show you how my Bible teaches me that I can know that I'm saved, and I'll take it further. I'm saved forever. Okay? And you can know that too. Don't base your salvation on anything you've done, because you'll never have a... Listen, we don't have a maybe-so salvation. We don't have a hope-so salvation. We have a no-so salvation. But all around us, people are looking for aid and relief. These multitudes turn to our Savior for aid and relief. Think about the many dangerous places and people turn to today for relief. We live in a world of sin sick everywhere. What are some things that people turn to today? I'll not go around the room and ask, but look, you know what's pretty prominent in our world right now? Drugs. Young people shooting themselves up with heroin. Fentanyl. Oh, just feels so good. Till you get a little bit too much and the old clicker stops. Young people turning to drugs. Young people, daddies, mamas, turning to alcohol. For what? Relief. For aid. But can I say something? When the high wears off and when the drunkenness wears off, what's still there? The problem. Amen? Look. See, Jesus don't offer Band-Aids. He offers permanent fixes. You understand what I'm saying? And it doesn't come in a bottle or a capsule or liquid form. Folks, it comes in a biblical form. We have a prescription to every sickness on the planet right here. You know why we haven't figured them all out? Because we haven't sought enough. I 100% believe the cure to cancer is in this Bible somewhere. And it might just be by prayer and fasting. These cometh only by prayer and fasting. But how many of us are really willing to pray and fast over something? Guilty. Been there. Tried that. Failed. People turn to drugs. People turn to alcohol. People turn to sexual immorality. We live in a day where sexual immorality is prominent. Billions of dollars are being made on young people invested into sexual immorality. Billions of dollars are being made by married men who are addicted to pornography sitting in the church. I don't hear no amens there. Hey, I wouldn't admit it either. But here's the deal. People struggle with that stuff, and they turn to that stuff for aid and for relief, all to go back to it tomorrow and the next day and the next day, until one day your wife opens up the door at the wrong time, or your wife picks up your phone at the wrong time and finds out what you're doing. Then all of a sudden, well, I got caught. And can I say that's not repentance? Everybody, you know the difference? Getting caught is not repentance. Repentance is realizing, like David said, I've sinned against a holy God. Not because mom and dad caught me, teenager. Not because husband and wife caught me, married couples. Just because she caught you. Listen, God's caught you from the first time you ever did it. And you will answer for that. You will give an account for what you've done. People turn to witchcraft. Witchcraft is prominent in our country. People mess around with Ouija boards. I heard a man this week talk about how he can't even go into his, I think it's his sister's home, because his sister is addicted to messing around with Ouija boards. Hey, you want to invite Satan into your home? Mess with that stuff. Watch Harry Potter. Go ahead. Fall in love with Harry Potter. See what happens. You won't be sleeping very long, because that's all demonic. It's all satanic. It's all from a dark satanic world. And you're just opening up a door and saying, Satan, come on in. Don't mess around with witchcraft. Worldly counsel is very prominent today. People in our churches are struggling. Marriages are falling apart. Yet they won't go see a pastor that'll open up a Bible and show them the biblical fix for their marriage. They'll go to a worldly counselor who's been divorced 3 times, but he's a professional on marriage. Now, how does that work? Y'all know what I'm talking about, don't you? I know a guy right now in Seward, Alaska, who was in a drug counseling program, who halfway through one of his days, is the guy that's sitting there said, hey, I'm going to go out and take a smoke break. Hello? Y'all see what I'm talking about? Worldly counsel, but the devil will convince you, hey, that's good. Why? Because a little bit of sin still feels good. We'll get rid of most of it, but we don't want to get rid of all of it, do we? Worldly counsel is prominent. Medicines that will wear off and not permanently fix you. We're very good at finding ways to band-aid our problems. If we as a church would learn to resort or turn to Jesus for our aid and support, I wonder how much more we could do. Better than that, look what Jesus done when they resorted to him. The Bible says in verse 13, and the multitude resorted unto him, and those next 4 words caught me. It said, and he, what, church? So not only should we pay attention to the sinner when they're seeking something. You know what people are doing when they come to our church for the first time? Maybe they're looking for a new church. Maybe they're not. But I'll tell you what, it's a fight for anybody to get up on Sunday morning and walk through those doors back there. And if you'd be honest, you'd say it's a fight for you too. Because Sundays, most of us don't have to work. We don't really have to get up and go to church, do we? We get to. And it's a fight to get here. It's a struggle. Satan's going to give you every opportunity, every reason, every rhyme, excuses. You hear them every day. Hey, the devil, he'll provide them. If from church you stay away, you keep on making excuses. One day you'll be calling the pastor and saying, hey, I don't understand why my kids don't go to church. And I'm not going to lie to you. It's a heart issue. But remember this, everything rises and falls on leadership. Y'all all right? You better establish in your home that God is going to be first in everything. Because the moment you show them babies that something else has preeminence over God is the moment they're going to say, okay, mom and dad slipped in this situation. And here's what's going to happen. What you do in moderation, they're going to do in excess. And then your grandbabies will be worse than that. Folks, it matters. The devil's after them. You better listen to me. The Bible says he taught them. I like it that he had time for the multitude. Aren't you glad that Jesus had time for you? Boy, I know I'm thankful Jesus had time for me. God is doing big things here, and we have taken a step of faith, but we must never stop making it a purpose to teach everyone. We had a business meeting just last week, and our church voted 100% of everybody that was here. There wasn't a single no vote to add on to our church so we can build some Sunday school rooms. Why? Because the children, everybody, the adults, the young people, they need to be taught. And if we're going to teach them, we got to have a place to put them. And so we stepped out by faith, and God is going to bless that. Now that you've stepped out by faith and voted, hey, the work's not over, it just began. Right? The next step of faith is, okay, God, we voted to do this, now pray over this thing. From now until you die. God, bless this. Bless this. Thank you for providing the funds to do it. We don't have to go borrow money and pay a bunch of interest on something. Thank you for already providing the money to do it. Now, would you please just bless it. Take the 5 loaves and 2 small fishes that we've given you and multiply it. You see what I'm saying? That's what we got to look at. 2 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Can I say this? It is our job to teach people the truth about God's Word. You say, what do you mean? Well, I was talking to a young man just this week at work. And we were talking about salvation. And I looked at that young man in his eyes and I said, sir, let me tell you something. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. You'll die and go to hell without Jesus Christ. All these things you're talking about that you've done, all the times you've been to this church, it doesn't matter. I said, without believing in your heart and confessing with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you're going to die and you're going to go to hell. Because that's the biblical way to be saved. And there's no other way. Ma'am, I don't care how long you've been a member of this church. Y'all okay? You can die and go to hell sitting in your church pew. That's so sacred to you. You want to try something cool? Switch around your church pews every now and then and see what happens. It's kind of funny. It hurt me though, because when I plan things, I sit up here and I look out and I picture where you're sitting. So you want to make a pastor sweat a little bit, move around the church a little bit, see what happens. I'll be wondering, where was this guy today? Where was that guy today? You know? Don't do it. But listen, salvation is only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's very important that we teach them that. It's very important that we don't sugarcoat the idea and the fact about salvation. Never sugarcoat God's word to anyone. The truth is still the truth. And can I say this? The truth still makes us free. The Bible says, and you shall know the what? Truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hey, I know the truth. Who is it? It's Jesus. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Hey, I'm thankful that I went through Jesus. And I'm thankful when I die, Brother Wayman, I don't have to worry about a thing. I'm going to be absent from the body, and I'm going to be present with the Lord. Folks, I want to be found faithful on that day, though. I don't want to be found out in this world swaying away from my Savior, wondering if the world has something more to offer me than what God can offer me. The answer is no. We got to teach them about the truth of God's Word. Can I say this? We must also be teaching people about the power of God's Word. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Can I say this? God's word is very powerful. You know, if it were not, when you heard it, His Holy Spirit would not have convicted you unto salvation. You wouldn't be saved today if God's word was dead. But guess what? It's not dead. It's alive. And can I say this? It's going to stand the test of time. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words endure it forever. Let me just break it down to you like this. This is God. So what do you mean? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the what? Word. And the word was with God. And the word was God. So, in the beginning was the Word. So has the Word of God always been? And the Word was with God. Was the Word always with God? And the Word was God. So see what happened is, in the beginning, the Word of God was already there. He just so happened to use individuals down through the times to pen His words. Amen? The Word was with God and the Word was God in the beginning. Folks, this is the one thing that you can rest assured on that is going to last forever. The government can't change this. They can try. People can't change the truth of it. They can try. They've rewritten it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact that we have a perfect copy. And our copy's the right copy. Romans 10:17. The Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We must teach people about faith, and that it comes from hearing the word of God. All the way from the nursery to the nursing home, we must be teaching people to have faith and to believe the word of God. I wonder how many of us saw and remember when we heard about the battle of David and Goliath. You remember the first time you heard that story? And you were like, whoa, that's pretty cool. We hear it now, we're like, David and Goliath. We memorize the scripture, we know where it's at. It ain't no secret, 1 Samuel 17, everybody knows where it is. He must be preaching on David and Goliath. But do you remember how alive that Bible was the first time that Sunday school teacher taught you that story? And how, at the end of the day, you didn't doubt for a minute. You didn't see David kill Goliath. You didn't see Goliath die, but you knew David killed Goliath. Why? By faith, you believed. The same way you got saved. Why? You didn't see God. You didn't see Jesus die, but you believe it by faith. Amen? Amen. Listen, you know you didn't see Daniel thrown into a den of lions, but he got thrown in there. How do you know? Because I believe it, because God's word said it. It's true. Every single word of it is true. How do we know? Because God's word said so. And can I say this? That's good enough for me. I believe God's word is true. I believe every single word of it. God's word is still just as true today as it has ever been. And we can trust it and need to teach others to trust it as well. Miss Barb's going to come this morning. But while she's coming, I want to sing this song for you. I have an invitation. Can we just play Have Thine Own Way, Lord? I'm going to sing this song about God's Word. It goes like this. It's a well of pure water when I'm thirsty and dry, and bread when I'm hungry and worn. When the battle is raging, it's my faithful sword, a shelter from life's troubled storm. It's a light to my pathway and a lamp to my feet. When this world gets so dark I can't see, and I've not made a change in one word that it says, but it sure made a change in me. Listen to this. This blessed old book that I hold in my hand, it's true from beginning to end. It's a solid foundation where I firmly stand. Sin kept me from it, now it keeps me from sin. But listen to this second verse, this gets good. When I think what it cost just to hold in my hand, I'm reminded that I owe a great debt to all of the martyrs who's gone to the stake and quoted with their dying breath. Listen to this. Now its critics are many and believers are few, but one thing I've found to be true. If you find when you read it that there's something wrong, then there's something wrong with you. Hey, listen, we have a word of God that will stand forever. Listen, that thing's real. It's alive. And there's people out there that need to be taught the word of God. Amen. Listen, she's going to play heads bowed, eyes closed this morning. Listen, this altar's open this morning. I wonder this morning as the piano's playing, I wonder if you'll come.